Welcome to the Real Barman Podcast. This episode first aired as a video on my YouTube channel. Don't forget to visit the resource page at barpatrol.net and therealbarman.com for a ton of resources on running a better bar and restaurant. Enjoy. If you're looking to better your cocktail menu and make more money from your cocktail menu, then you're in the right spot. If not, get the hell out of here. What's up? It is Dave Allred, the Real Barman here. Let's get to deconstructing and reinventing your cocktail menu so you can siphon as much profits as you can from each one, as well as create a great cocktail menu that becomes your guest, like, secret guilty pleasure that they keep coming back for. All right, that's the goal. Because if you're like most owners and managers I know, they throw their cocktail menu together with tunnel vision focus on the cocktails themselves and very little focus on how much profit they're making on it, which is bad. Right? We like money and we want more of it. So let me show you how to do it. All right? Step one, have passion for the craft. Okay, if you don't love creating cocktails, your guests are going to know it. Okay, they're going to be able to taste the indifference in your drinks and you'll have sad faces all over your bar and restaurant. All right, so if that's not you, maybe you're just the owner or the manager, find a bartender or bartenders who love crafting cocktails and use them. Okay, a great way to start is to simply research online for other amazing cocktails to give you ideas and then recreate and rebuild them to be your own based on these seven steps we're talking about today. All right, yes, I'm saying steal cocktail ideas online. Okay, there's no patents for cocktails. This is not unethical. It's like saying stealing a cake recipe is unethical. Okay, but a word of warning when you do this. Okay, try not to go overboard, at least to start. Okay, meaning, to make your cocktails great, you know, try not to get caught up in recreating the most far out complicated cocktails you could find on the internet. Okay, with like burnt sage and eye of nude and muddled bat wings or whatever. All right, along with countless other ingredients. Okay, you don't want to have a cocktail menu in which you have to order and store dozens of ingredients. Okay, first off, it's not efficient. Okay, it's going to take your bartenders 2 minutes to make each drink, which is pissing your guests off, and it's costing you money. Okay, and second, trying to store that many different ingredients means a lot of it will probably go to waste, which is costing you money. Okay, with that said, you still want to create beautiful, eye-pleasing, Instagram-worthy masterpieces that make your guests drool in drunken anticipation. Okay, so do your research and come up with some unique, fun cocktail ideas. All right, step two, know your customers. Okay, in other words, if you're a college or dive bar, do not create elaborate, lavish cocktails just because that's what you like to drink. Okay, remember, you're there to give them whatever they want so they have a great experience. It's not about you. Okay, if you're a bar or grill or like a burger place, don't put pina coladas and Mai Tais on the menu. It doesn't go with the theme and it's gonna fail. Create cocktails that your guests who actually come into the bar will like and that goes with the theme of your bar or restaurant. Okay, step three, choose your booze wisely. Okay, and this piggybacks off of step number two, you need to choose liquors that align with your guests' tastes. Okay, so again, if you're a college or dive bar, then you need to use vodka brands like Burnett's. Okay, they have all sorts of fun flavors as well. They'll cost you like $9 a bottle. Okay, same with the rest of your liquors. Okay, if you're a higher end place, you're gonna use higher end liquors. But unless you're super high end, you can still get away with mid-level liquors that aren't super expensive, all right? Like Tito's or Bacardi's or Sauza, okay? And to disguise this in your descriptions on the cocktail menu, you don't always need to include the brand of liquor in the cocktails. You can simply say, you know, it has pear vodka, elderflower liqueur, muddled basil and strawberries with a splash of sparkling wine. Okay, if they ask, you can always tell them the brand. Okay, as long as the description is great, they usually won't care. Okay, more on descriptions in a moment. So the tip here is use the lowest cost liquors you can while still making the cocktails great based on your guest type and the type of establishment you are. Does that make sense? All right, good. Step four, price accordingly. Okay, so your first task in this is to price out how much each cocktail is costing you. Okay, this is important. This is why we use cost-effective liquors to keep the cost down. And when I say cost everything out, this includes all of your ingredients down to mixers and garnishes. Okay, like if you're using basil and strawberries, cost out how much a leaf of basil and three strawberries cost, or however many you're using in the cocktail. Okay, once you know the cost of the cocktail, you can price it accordingly to hit your target cost percentage numbers. All right, and what should your target cost percentage be? Well, for liquor, normally, we like to keep it in the mid to high teens, like 16 to 18%. So let's take a look at an example here. All right, I always like examples. Okay, it makes you go, ah, I see it. I get it now. All right, at least that's me. Okay, so let's look at both options using higher cost liquors and lower cost liquors so you can see the difference. Okay, so let's say on your menu you have a drink called the French Pear Martini and you sell it for 10 bucks. Okay, the cocktail gets an ounce and a half of pear vodka, 1 ounce of elderflower liqueur, juice from half a lemon, half ounce of simple syrup, and 1 ounce of champagne as a floater on top. And let's start with the higher level liquors. Let's say you choose to use Grey Goose Le Poire, as the French say, Saint Germain Elderflower Liqueur, and Chandon Chardonnay. Okay, here's the cost breakdown. Grey Goose Pear costs $39 per 1 liter bottle, so an ounce and a half costs $1.73. And if you're wondering how I'm getting these numbers, I'm dividing the cost of the bottle by how many ounces are in the bottle to get cost per ounce. Okay, so then Saint Germain costs $32 for a 750 milliliter bottle, so 1 ounce is $1.26. A split of champagne costs $6 for 187 milliliters, so 1 ounce costs you 95 cents. Juice from half a lemon costs about 12 cents, plus the quarter wedge for the garnish, so another 6 cents, and the simple syrup is about 8 cents worth. Sounds tasty, right? Yum, yum, yum. Now, put it all together, and this cocktail costs you $4.20, giving you profit of $7.80. Divide that by the price of $10, and you're selling it for the cost of your drink. It's up to 42% if you're selling it for 10 bucks. If you sell it for 12 bucks, it's like 35%. Okay, ouch, either way. That's about double what we want. Okay, and yes, all of these brands are expensive, but I see this on the cocktail menus all the time now. Okay, they price it right 10 or 12 bucks and they have these super expensive liquors and the cost percentage is really high. Okay, now let's try it with the bargain liquors. Burnett's Pear costs $9 per 1 liter bottle, so an ounce and a half is gonna be like 40 cents. Okay, then we're gonna go with St. Elder Elderflower Liqueur, not as good as St. Germain, but it's still decent. Costs $14 for 750 milliliter bottle for 55 cents for that ounce. For champagne, we're gonna use Corbel at $2.75 per 187 milliliter bottle, so 1 ounce equals 44 cents. And then we have the lemons and the simple syrup, those are the same. So if we add all that up, our cost now is $1.65. If we did charge $12 per cocktail, the profit would be $10.35 and the cost percentage would be 13.75%. All right, excellent. Otherwise, looking at 16.5%, still really good. Okay, now with the cheaper booze, if you feel like your lower end bar, that's what you can do. You can drop the price to $10. The other one, you probably price it at 12 bucks, but we still get that profit of $8.35, okay, and 16.5 in the cost percentage, which is right where the desired cost percentage should be. Okay, so you can see what I mean here, right? And the point of this little exhibition is to show you that if you mess around with different products, you can find a cost and price point that makes sense for you and your style of bar. Okay, and let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with creating high-end cocktails with high-end brands if you're a high-end bar, okay? Just make sure you price them accordingly so you have lower cost percentage and higher profit. You might have to charge 14 or 15 bucks for those cocktails that get there, but if you're higher end, people expect it, all right? Just make sure you do your homework. Step 5, choose a memorable name and description, okay? And this is because words sell. Okay, even something like the French Pear Martini, that's decent. It's not a horrible name, but it also doesn't elicit a feeling of like excitement and adventure compared to something like, I don't know, Cosmic Citrus Fizz or Velvet Voodoo Elixir or, Tipsy Unicorn Tears, whatever. Okay, these are the kinds of names that demand attention. Okay, these are the names that could be host late night talk shows or win Nobel Prizes. Okay, they're fun. They're delightful. And people are out to have fun, okay, and to delight. Okay, same thing with the description. If you just put pear vodka, elderflower liqueur, lemon juice, champagne, served up in a martini glass. Yeah, boring, right? Dare I say lame. Okay, that doesn't get my taste buds going. And I see this all the time, right? Don't you, when you're reading a cocktail menu when you go out? It's everywhere. Okay, and what if we replaced it with something like a light, crisp, and slightly sweet combination of chilled pear vodka and elderflower liqueur, shaken with fresh lemon juice, and topped with a refreshing splash of bubbly champagne. Okay, I'm not saying that's going to win any awards, but which would you rather order? Okay, the second one gets you much more excited. All right, step six, serve cocktail flights. Okay, or really any flights, wine and beer flights as well, but we're specifically talking about the cocktail menu today. Okay, cocktail flights are freaking fantastically fun. Okay, that's a lot of F's there. Okay, that would actually sound good on the menu. Call it frickin' fantastically fun flights. Okay, you can steal that if you want. All right, but seriously, people go crazy over flights, and really, how often do you see cocktail flights? Almost never. Okay, bars will do beer and wine flights, but cocktail flights are so unique and rare. Okay, you could do like four in your flight, and not only are they extremely profitable because you can price them up quite a bit, but it's memorable and people will talk about it to their friends and their constituents, and they're going to come back again, which is what we want. We want repeat customers. Okay, I'm not going to go over pricing flights right now. Maybe I'll do that in another video, but just make sure you cost out each of your mini cocktails and mark up the price for a hefty profit. Okay, and then finally, step seven, demand that your bartenders use jiggers. Okay, all of this is for nothing if your bartenders aren't sticking to a regimented portion size that you've defined on the cocktail menu. It's different if they're pouring like a vodka soda or a Jack and Coke. You could free pour those and it'd be fine. But with different ingredients in there, you need to make sure you do this right. Okay, if you define that 1.5 ounces of pear vodka goes into a French pear martini, but they're pouring 2 ounces or 2.5 ounces because they're free pouring, you have no idea how much that adds up. When you're selling dozens and dozens of cocktails, you lose a lot of money. Okay, when this happens, cost percentage goes up, your profits go down, and now you're vacationing in Fresno, California instead of Maui. Okay, this is why having a good inventory system in place to track variance and bartender pours is essential to your success. So make sure they're doing their part to increase your profits. Not to mention, if your bartenders are all pouring different portion sizes, the cocktails are going to taste inconsistent as hell. Okay, this is like going to Starbucks and ordering a peppermint mocha or whatever, and one barista puts in 4 pumps of chocolate, and then the next time you order it, all right, another barista puts in 7 pumps of chocolate. Now it's super sweet. Okay, vastly different mochas. Okay, and as people, we like consistency and we like the comfort that it brings. Okay, we like to know what we're getting. So train your bartenders to use measuring devices is mega essential to your cocktail success. All right, does all that make sense? Okay, well, that's going to do it for today's training on cocktail menu profitability. I hope this inspires you to create something amazeballs for both your guests and your bottom line. All right, I want to thank you for being here today. I do appreciate it. I hope you make millions and millions and millions of dollars. I'm going to see you next time. I'm out.